Okay, good afternoon. I'm Lauren Rosenberg from the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists, and today I'll be presenting on the 2010 Food Safety Epidemiology Capacity Assessment. I have no financial relationships to disclose. The purpose of this assessment was to enumerate and characterize the foodborne epidemiology workforce, to characterize the use of electronic tools used in outbreak detection and investigation, and to identify barriers to conducting effective outbreak investigations. The key areas of this assessment were the capacity to detect, investigate, and respond, the enumeration of foodborne disease epidemiology capacity, the C4 Council to Improve Foodborne Outbreak Response Guidelines for Foodborne Disease Outbreak Response, and legal authority in states. The assessment was piloted in 4 states in March 2010 and was in the field in April 2010. It was distributed electronically using SurveyMonkey to the state foodborne disease epidemiologist, who was the primary respondent. The foodborne epi received assistance from others in the health department, such as the state epidemiologist. The data were analyzed using Excel, and we had a 100% response rate from states, although not every state answered every question. The data presented here are from the draft report, and the final technical report will be available later this month with publications to follow. This scale that you see here was the scale of a state's capacity to perform the activity that was used throughout the assessment. The respondent was asked to answer none when none of the activity, knowledge, or resources described within the question were met, and full when 100% of the activity, knowledge, or resources described within the question were met, and minimal, partial, substantial, and almost full for the sections in between. The first section was the capacity to detect, investigate, and respond. This graph indicates the number of respondents reporting substantial to full capacity, which is 50% or greater, to use electronic lab reporting for foodborne illnesses by lab type. The highest capacity reported was for public health labs on the left bar, and notably lower for other types of labs. States must use an electronic surveillance system to report communicable diseases, and this graph indicates which type of database is used for this reporting. The majority of states use a NEDS-compliant database to maintain enteric disease records, and others use a custom database system, an off-the-shelf system, or other types of systems. Because states often have multiple types of systems to manage surveillance, the columns add up to more than 49 in this case. States' electronic databases have the capacity to record various types of information about enteric diseases. Many states report recording lab results, epidemiologic risk factors, clinical systems, travel history, and environmental exposures at the top of the chart, and slightly less so for information farther down, like food history and food purchasing locale. States vary significantly in their reported capacity to collect both food and stool specimens related to foodborne outbreaks. States are generally more likely to obtain stool samples versus food samples. 38 states collect stool specimens in 50% or more of outbreaks, while only 13 states collect food samples in 50% or more of outbreaks. About half of states report having standing response teams for foodborne illness outbreaks at either the state, regional, or local level. Those states that do not have standing outbreak response teams can mobilize appropriate staffs for outbreaks. And additionally, 9 of these states reported that the existence of standing teams varies significantly by jurisdiction. States use a variety of data sources for foodborne outbreak detection. The most common are PulseNet data, physician reports, and public complaints. The least commonly used sources include emergency department data, chief complaint data, poison control center data, over-the-counter drug sales, biosense data, and EMS data. While all states investigate foodborne outbreaks, the proportion of outbreaks investigated varies by pathogen and varies across states. This graph shows how many states investigated most or all foodborne outbreaks. Most states investigated E. coli 0157 and Listeria outbreaks on the left side of the graph, more so than norovirus outbreaks on the far right. The assessment also examined what barriers exist to states' ability to investigate outbreaks. The most commonly reported barriers were delayed notification of the outbreak, lack of adequate staffing, lower prioritization of the investigation, and lack of ability to pay overtime. And on the flip side, the factors that were not perceived as barriers include lack of epidemiology expertise, lack of statistical support, travel policy constraints, and lack of lab capacity. Conducting tracebacks to investigate the source of foodborne disease outbreaks is recommended when it's appropriate. The left graph shows that 80% of states report having performed between 1 and 10 commercial tracebacks in the last 3 years, and almost no states report no commercial product traceback activities. These tracebacks often involve collaboration among local, state, and federal public health agencies, although large variation exists. And the chart on the right indicates that most states report their agencies' traceback activities as a shared local and state responsibility. This graph shows the quality of the relationships between the state health departments and their partners. Generally, states were more likely to report the relationship with partners as good or excellent when partnering with traditional public organizations like laboratory, environmental health, and CDC on the left side of the graph, and less so with non-public health agencies like state departments of agriculture, USDA, or FDA shown on the right. States indicated that their partnership with laboratory was the most likely to be reported as excellent. The next section discussed enumerating foodborne epidemiology capacity. The assessment measured the current foodborne epidemiology workforce by education or training level in full-time equivalents from those with a PhD or other doctoral degree to those with no formal training in epidemiology. The majority of foodborne epis at the state level, 55%, are at the master's level, professional level, or doctoral level. The rest of the workforce has a bachelor's degree, nursing degree, some coursework, on-the-job training, or no formal training in epidemiology. This graph indicates the personnel needs for foodborne disease epidemiology. Respondents indicated a need for many more master's level and nursing level foodborne epidemiologists, the highlighted bars, at all levels of government. Overall, states reported a need of 304 full-time equivalents to achieve full capacity in their health departments, which is a 38% increase over current staffing levels. Full capacity is defined as the ability of a state health department foodborne disease epidemiology unit to fulfill the four essential services of public health that are related to epidemiology and foodborne disease outbreak investigation and response. The final section that I'll discuss today is legal authority. Seen at the top of the table, most states report that the authority to conduct foodborne investigations exists in general state statutes or state regulations. The middle section of the table shows that fewer states reported this authority lies in statutes or regulations that expressly authorize foodborne investigation. We found that legal authority exists mostly at the state level and not at the local level. States have the legal authority overall to perform a variety of activities, including performing emergency environmental inspections, excluding sick food handlers from work, embargoing or condemning implicated food items, and closing a facility. States also have the legal authority to collect reports on suspect cases, requiring submission of isolates to the lab, and guaranteeing chain of custody for specimens. The policies on releasing information about individuals or businesses on foodborne illness cases are treated sensitively and are subject to more intense scrutiny to ensure confidentiality. States can consider business entities differently than individuals with regards to the release of information. In the case of individuals, this assessment found that information is generally regarded as confidential and is able to be shared only for a legitimate purpose. And with business entities, these policies are generally less rigid, shared for a legitimate purpose, and are more open to public release upon request. So we found several conclusions formed from these assessment results. Although general trends were able to be identified, there is significant variation among states when it comes to reporting and surveillance. States vary in their electronic lab reporting capabilities, their use of electronic databases, and their ability to detect and investigate outbreaks. Most states report a lack of capacity, which impacts their ability to effectively and completely investigate, control foodborne illness. Although the complete investigation of outbreaks such as E. coli 0157 is high, it remains less than ideal, especially with regards to specimen collection. The most common barriers to the completion of investigations are delayed notification and lack of adequate number of staff, and work must be done to lower these barriers. And finally, the opportunity exists for improvements in states' working relationships with partners, as there are differences in states' relationships with other disciplines, especially state departments of agriculture, USDA, and FDA. I'd like to acknowledge Matt Bolton, our CST consultant on this project, as well as our CST work group that contributed. Thank you.